This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's better than two former NFL players? How about a third? James Ahedebo, a Super Bowl champ, 10-year NFL vet, joins the show. Travis Johnson, first-round pick of the Houston Texans. Wade Smith, Pro Bowler with the Houston Texans, in for John Lopez. James Ahedebo, we were talking about the Texans and whether it's time to panic because of the signing of Justin Houston to Indianapolis. What say you?
Man, it is time to panic. I don't know what did the Texans realize free agency started and they're a couple of weeks in?
Man, they got Bradley Roby.
They got who?
They got Tayshaun Gibson, baby.
I mean,
I'm making plays, bro.
I'm just making plays.
My point is that the Texans aren't a team that were, you know, a play away or even a game away from playing in the Super Bowl. And for some reason, management has that expectation as that's where their team is when they are far removed. Matter of fact, I would go as far as saying they are borderline a game or two away from not being in the playoffs come this season because of the moves that other teams are making to get better.
Does that explain away why they're not making those moves, though? Maybe they're saying, like, hey, our timeline is different than what everybody else's timeline thinks it is. Like, Brian Gaines coming here, I'm starting at zero, so I'm not finna sign all these big number of free agents and stuff. I'm going to work on getting guys in the draft, building it from ground up. For me, that's what it seems like what I'm seeing from going on
and,
over there.
And that is fine, but then you can't go into the season with the expectation of, oh, we want to win a championship. We want to be division champs. We want to be – you know, conference champs. That can't be your expectation because you're not saying that in the moves that you're making as a team. So it's false to sell that to the fans.
Well, there's a move that they can make to combat that. Donald Penn, three-time Pro Bowler for the Raiders, actually a buddy of Travis Johnson. You say you've talked to him, and yeah. Donald Penn to the Texans isn't something that he's against.
No, not at all. I think he's actually hoping that it gets done, hoping that the Texans call his people, hoping his people have great conversation with the Texans. So he can become a Texan. I don't think it's not going to cost you a bunch of money. I mean, this is a guy who's made a whole lot of money in his career. It's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. And right now, with the money you have to give away, you might be able to get him a two-year deal for $10 million and be like, come on. He's like, why not?
And what are they getting in him, guys?
They get a vet. They get a dog. They get a guy who...
What kind of dog? Because you said Kiki was a Maltese.
I mean, you talk about a big dog, like a Presto Canary. You know what I'm saying? Like a big dog. You know, you get a Presto with Donald.
Like a Mastiff, bro.
Yeah, the thing I like about Donald Penn, like you said, is his experience, you know, what he brings in terms of that presence to the offensive line. That offensive line lacks attitude. If you're watching games, they are getting tossed around left and right. No one's picking up their brother. You know, one thing that I always saw, even when we played in Baltimore, if someone got the best of me one play and I got knocked to the ground, one of my teammates were running over to knock that guy out and help me up. And you don't see that attitude from the Texans offensive line. And a guy like Donald Penn would definitely bring that.
That's what you need up front. That's what you need in an offensive line and an offensive line group. That's the type of thing that if you're a quarterback or you're a skilled position player, you want to see that attitude out of the big guys up front. And so right now the Texans really don't have that. You bring in a guy like Donald Penn, he's gonna get everybody else in line. Like, hey, now we don't do this here. These are things that we do and things that we don't do. And this is the mentality that we're gonna have and we're gonna approach it each and every day. And so it's just up to the Texans to go out there and make the deal. You know, Donald Penn wants to be here. And I think that he would help this team. He's going to help them in production. Yep. He's going to help coach up the guys as far as their technique, how to be a pro, all those type of things. I think it's a win-win situation.
Do you want to be great is a question.
Wade Smith, Travis Johnson, James Ahedebo in studio, John Lopez out fishing. I'm Landry Locker. Of all the moves made in the AFC South, the Justin Houston to the Colts, where would you rank this among the most impactful moves? Because obviously you have Nick Foles in Jacksonville. You have Roger Saffold to the Tennessee Titans.
That's
you have the Titans trading for Ryan Tannehill.
That's a wash.
So is this the biggest move?
I mean, I think it's got to be.
I think
with the Foles deal and this deal has to be looked at as the two biggest moves in the AFC South. I think when you look at the Ryan Tannehill to Tennessee, I don't know if anybody's ever seen the meme of the two Spider-Mans looking at each other like, oh, it's you. Like, both of them are the same guys. Like, you know, they're either going to be hurt or they're going to be trash.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think Tannehill is a little bit better than
Mariota. I agree.
They're both trash.
I would take Tannehill over Mariota.
He's
bro.
Better than Mariota. So now what are you going to do? Your top three pick from a couple years ago, you're going to put him on the bench because not Ryan Tannehill is now going to be your starting quarterback? So when you look at deals made.
Now, they're going to trade Mariota.
Who gonna take him?
Somebody will take him, man. Mariota, that's just the way coaches work in the NFL, bro. They'll feel
the
like
Giants.
This guy. you never know what the Giants gonna do.
The Giants,
they'll trade away Odell Beckham. They need a quarterback, but Mariota, I think somebody will take a flyer on him and trade a third or a second round pick for
the
him.
The Giants right now is messing up a wet dream, so I think they can do it.
James Ahedebo, what do you think?
I could see Mariota even going into the season using this as trying to motivate him to perform at a higher level. And during training camp, if he loses that battle, he'll be on the trading blocks coming into week one. So if you're looking at the overall impact, man, this league is dominated by pass rushers. If you rush the passers with four guys, let alone what the Colts did to the Texans in the playoffs already, now they got Justin Houston. Come on now.
We were just saying that, man, on the way in.
That's the thing about it. The Colts, they were getting sacks on the Texans not because they had great pass rushers. They just were out-scheming them and getting free rushers and free blitzers.
Now if you could literally put somebody on there. Explain that for the listeners, because I know we broke this down earlier in the year.
Right.
We broke it down again in the playoffs on the Smitty and Trap show.
Yeah.
But now we on the Smitty, Trap, and Landry show. With James Ahedebo is
we in the loop with James.
That's a reset by Travis Johnson right there.
Hey, you see how I put the two black names as headliners?
We on our way, baby. We on our way.
Explain it to the listeners when you say how they scheme the guys up front.
They scheme the blitzes to where they would get a free cornerback. What was the cornerback's name for the Colts? Because he seemed like he had like six sacks against the Texans last year.
Pierre Desir?
Pierre Desir, I think he was the outside corner. It was their slot corner. Their slot corner would come off the edge or come inside. Like when I say come off the edge, he'd come outside of the left tackle or the right tackle, and he'd get free runs at Deshaun Watson and get sacks. And they did that multiple times, and the Texans never figured it out schematically of how to turn our protection to keep that guy from getting there and getting free. And so that's something that, like, you got out-coached. There was nothing physical that caused that to happen. Either it was a mental error by the offensive line or they got out-coached, out-schemed to where they got a free rusher. Now, if you don't even have to blitz, because eventually you expect coaches to figure that out and not get out-schemed and out-coached, out-finessed in that way. But now you have a guy like Justin Houston, you don't have to blitz. You don't have to send an extra guy to get there because he can just physically win a one-on-one battle and whoop somebody.
And you can say Justin Houston, you could say he, quote, struggled the last four seasons. He hasn't posted over 9.5 sacks. But in 2014, this guy had 22 sacks. Yeah. He was a half sack away from Michael Strahan. And that's not like that was 10 years ago or something like that. It was 5 years ago. Let's just go around the room. We'll go clockwise. We'll start with James, then we'll go to Travis, and then we'll go to Smitty. So of all the moves made in the AFC South, did the Jags make the best move with Nick Foles, or did the Colts make the best move and the most impactful with Justin Houston?
I would say the Colts with Justin Houston, because he is going to be that game changer to get them over the hump.
I mean, when I look at it, I got to go with Nick Foles. I think when you look at Jacksonville's team, the only thing they can only go as far. The old saying, you can only be as far good as your weakest link. Well, their weakest link has been quarterback, and now they bought in a guy who is over the last 2 years has showed you nothing but production. So I got to say, go with the Jags.
I definitely have to go with Nick Foles as well. And the reason why I say Nick Foles is because that team was about to have a mutiny with Blake Bortles at quarterback. And they had so many issues with their defensive guys that were having to basically carry the entire team. Now you have a guy that's a respectable quarterback at the position. He's not a top 10 quarterback, but he's top maybe 15, top 12 quarterback in the league. He's solid, somebody that you can count on. Now you're going to keep the locker room together and so they can progress and actually compete. Although they've lost so many people on their positions on defense that I don't think the Jacksonville Jaguars are really going to compete for the division, but I do think that was the best move overall.
All right, you don't think they're going to compete for the division, so you kind of tipped your hand on my next question. Who is the best team as we sit right now in the AFC South? Rank them 1 to 3.
I'll go with the Colts first. I'll go with the Texans second. I'll go with the Titans third.
And the Jags
and
fourth.
The Jags what? Last.
It's like that, huh?
Yeah. No question.
Travis, you disagree?
I take it's going to go Colts, Texans, Jags, Titans.
James?
Yeah, I'm going same. Colts, Texans, Jags, Titans. And to your point, the Jags were a mutiny away. If Nick Foles stinks it up, that locker room is going to destroy him because Now you have players, they're going to be thinking about their close teammates that they let go to bring you into the locker room, the amount of money that they're paying you in the first place. And if you stink it up, boy, woo,
that's a good point. But as long as he stays away from Jeff Fisher, I think that Nick Foles will be fine, bro. That's the only person that Nick Foles didn't play well with. And so I think Nick Foles is going to do well in Jacksonville.
Oh, you had me thrown for a second. I'm about to say, did I miss something? Is Jeff Fisher in Jacksonville?
Like, he can't die. Would it surprise you?
What is it? What's going on?
No, I'm just saying, if he was on the coaching staff, I'd be worried about Nick Foles. But he's not. And so I think he'll be fine.
Mediocre Jeff Fisher. Huh?
Yeah, he ruined Vince Young. I'm blaming him for Vince Young.
Well, Vince Young also ruined Vince Young. Anytime you get a 4-1.
Let's not let the facts get in the way of my theory, Trav. Travis Johnson, Wade Smith, James Ahedebo in the building. Three former NFL players here on In the Loop. Let's go to the line, 713-572-416. Y'all don't know who Gupta is, do y'all? You aren't familiar with
him. I know Gupta.
From CNN?
No, not quite. It's our loophole Gupta. Gupta's on the line. Gupta, what's up, man?
We're not all the same, man. I know the CNN Gupta is there, but we're not all the same.
Hey, Roger, can I get a Slurpee, please?
Y'all are going to hit that 17 pretty soon if you keep going like this, man. But I have to agree. I still think the Colts are the best in the division. They showed up with Justin Houston. They're going to give our O-line some headaches. And I know somebody said that Brian Gay looks like he's rebuilding. But we still have Deshaun on that rookie contract, so why aren't they taking advantage of that? And number two, for Mr. Trapp, I know that you're kind of in the know with some players out there, but do you know what's going on with Tom Bahali? Because he's been tweeting some crazy stuff lately, and that's all.
Oh, man, Tom Bahali, I need to go check my Twitter.
Yeah, we got to check that Twitter, man. What's going on?
Hey, Gupta, listen. I like Gupta calling in. Don't get stuck on In the Loop just to call them guys. When next time me and Smitty is on, please give us a call.
No, you can't take our guys like that.
We want Gupta to come in because they're right
caring.
There.
Huh? I said sharing is caring, Landon.
Sharing is caring. It is.
Sometimes with some things.
I mean, we can share Gupta.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah.
I appreciate it, man. I mean, we only on once a week.
But yeah, as far as his questions, like Gupta says, he says. What do you say, Brian Gann? Is he
rebuilding? Deshaun's still on his rookie deal. I mean, it might not be the time, is what his point was.
No, it actually is the time. I think that was his.
Now he was saying that it should be the time.
It should be the time that we should build kind of like the Rams, where we can pay everybody because we're not paying our quarterback.
No, but I think he's looking at it more as a process. If I wasn't mistaken, the Rams went all in with Goff, right? I think it seems like Brian Gaines doing the opposite.
Right, but Gupta is saying that he should be going. Okay, people should be going because the Rams did it that way. Seattle did it that way. There's been a bunch of teams that have done it that way and been successful, and the Texans are trying to do it a different way. And it's like Joel Embiid said, you got to trust the process, and that's what Brian Gaines, I think, is trying to sell everybody.
What do you think, James Adebo?
And I understand that. Like I said, I think a couple weeks ago I talked about, you know, the Texans not taking into account the window of opportunity that they have. You know, there's a limited time that J.J. Watt's going to be the best defensive player in the NFL. I mean, at his production level, if that's going to stay that same way for the next 3-4 years, just how it's been in the NFL, there's always a decline in play. And so with the Texans having, you know, Watson still under his rookie contract, I mean, you re-signed Hopkins, but, you know, in a couple of years, he's going to want a new deal. So the window of opportunity is real small, and the Texans aren't taken to account. You got to win now. You have to.
I look at it like this. If Brian Gain is using this philosophy where he's saying that we're going to build in the draft and we're not going to spend on a bunch of free agents, we're going to take care of our own guys, these are the words that he said, then he's got to follow that up, and he's got to pay Jadeveon Clowney. I'm going to keep saying that until it gets done. Because if he pays Jadeveon Clowney, then I'm saying, okay, everything he said to us is legit, and he's sticking to what he wants to do. I'm going to take care of my own guys. But I don't know if they're going to do that. I have a very sneaky suspicion that Jadeveon's not going to get that $100 million debt.
If they were going to do it, it would have already been done. And we've been in the NFL. We know how it goes. When it comes to contract negotiations, right, if a team wants to pay you, they will work with you to get a deal done. I remember on the New York Jets with Darrell Revis. He held out a training camp. They offered him a deal. It went as far as Rex Ryan going to his house to meet with him to get a deal done. If a team wants you, They will crawl under a rock and find you.
Well,
and when they don't, go ahead.
No, and when they don't want you, they'll do how they did Albert Haynesworth. They'll franchise you. They'll franchise you again.
Yep.
And then let somebody else pay you.
But see, the times have changed. It's not when Albert Haynesworth days where guys were taking their franchise and just playing it out.
Four times, guys
are holding out now. They're not playing those games. So answer me this, though. If that's the philosophy, they're not going to pay him, right? If they got a first and a third for Jadeveon Clowney, does that satisfy you? Do you say, okay, we got something legitimate out this deal?
Of course, yeah.
So we're good with it?
And if that's the case, if that's what they want to do, then I would do that. I would just go ahead and make that known, at least to Jadeveon Clowney, like, hey, you know, you're not in our long-term plans. Because anytime a team franchise tags you, it's not about the money.
But you know the league don't work that way when they let you know in advance that you're not in our plans. They just drop the hammer on you and keep it moving.
I don't think that he wasn't in their long-term plans. I think they were caught by surprise that JJ had such a wonderful year.
I think that makes sense. I think if JJ doesn't have the year he had this year,
they pay him.
The window's open on JJ. But I think
the fact that JJ came out, balled out, I think changed their entire mentality. Because think about it. If JJ has four sacks, you cannot. If JJ has four sacks and gets hurt again, you can't justify paying him $15 million again next year.
It's a damn good take.
It's a good take, but then I have a problem with that if I'm looking at the Texans, because if you feel like somebody's worthy of getting paid, then you pay them.
You have enough money on the salary cap to pay both of them. But it's hard to win with $200 million D linemen.
Travis Johnson, Wade Smith, James Ahedibo in the building. It's interesting you say that, Trap, because it's not like really an assumption, because as soon as Brian Gain took the job, Texans GM Brian Gain, he was open about wanting to lock Clowney up. But when he was open about it, J.J. Watt hadn't played in a couple years. He hadn't been able to stay on the field, and we assumed his best football was behind him. He goes out there and puts on 16 sacks, and that might be what changed.
I think that changes everything, because now you go from potentially either asking J.J. to say, hey, J.J., we need you to take a pay cut so you can stay, or we're going to trade you, and that's going to be, one, that's a bad eye on the team, because the team can't trade J.J. Watt.
That's not going to happen.
They can't have the same thing happen with Andre again.
Yeah.
They can't trade J.J. Watt. So now you're at a crossroads. Because if J.J. is the J.J. we think he is, who's going to be a stubborn and a shrewd businessman, a good businessman,
right,
he'd be like, no, show me you're going to ask me to take less money.
But look at this, though. J.J., he said that he wants to retire on top. He's not trying to play out an extended period of time in his career.
I understand that, bro. J.J. is a rock star. It's hard to work with a rock star.
Let me ask y'all this, because J.J. did say that. And there are examples of elite Hall of Fame pass rushers. Reggie White at age 32, he gave everything he had to the Eagles, went and signed to Green Bay, went and won his Super Bowl. Neil Smith, it was a different reason. Reggie White did it on his own. Neil Smith got forced out because they had to pay other guys, which is what you're going to have to decide on with Hopkins and Watson. We've seen elite pass rushers in their early 30s. DeMarcus Ware, age 31, Cowboys cut him because they needed to move on and go a different direction. Elite Hall of Fame pass rushers at the age J.J. Watt's going to be, 32 years old, have went out of town and won Super Bowls.
But they're not J.J. Watt, though. They didn't bring how many million? $37 million to the city. That's not J.J. Watt.
And not just that. We are talking here about a expansion franchise.
Yeah.
No matter how you look at the Texans, the day we decided to take the Texans name and not try to pay Bud Adams for the Oilers name, we became an expansion franchise with no history. So you think about every day, everything that happens in this organization is history. J.J. Watt is history. So if you allow your greatest player, arguably, outside of Andre Johnson to leave, or to get traded, or to be cut, but this city will burn like 92 riots.
Trap, and you and Wade both played with him. This is my thing with Andre Johnson, though. I think the reason the Andre Johnson thing is so regretful isn't because he got away. It's because he got away and didn't win that Super Bowl. I think Houston would genuinely be proud of Andre Johnson if he'd gotten that Super Bowl. I think if J.J.'s looking at Andre, every time you talk about Andre, there is a yeah, but. Yeah, but he never got that. Does J.J. Watt want to do that?
Yeah, but the fact of the matter is J.J. is, most of the time when you have a franchise player for your franchise, you're thinking of a quarterback. You're thinking your first-round quarterback that you brought in, he's been with the team for 10-plus years, and he's the poster boy of your team. J.J. Watt is that for the Texans.
J.J. Watt is Shaquille O'Neal of the Texans.
Exactly. So you cannot even entertain the idea of him leaving, regardless. And to your point, which is a great take on the surprise
Travis's
production,
point.
Travis's point, I apologize, to the surprise production by J.J. Watt from the Texans, Jadeveon Clowney, they knew that his contract was coming up. Yes. So it's teams plan in advance for you. It's a 2-year, 3-year process. So they knew it was coming down.
But they got the money, and now they don't want to give it to them.
That's what I'm saying. They have the money to pay both of them.
My
point
is the writing's on the wall. If they're not paying you, the writing's on the wall.
Yeah.
The writing's on the wall, but I also will say this, though. They need to figure out are they going to try to kick the can down the road and try to do this franchise thing? Because what happens is you're going to take a PR hit, because I don't think Jadeveon is going to just come. I think he's gonna hold out.
Of course,
he's not gonna be around. And then, what is the point of that? Go ahead and trade him. Go ahead and trade him. Get a first and third for him. Get him two twos for him, and then you can just move on from the process and let him go get his money. Because that affects other free agents.
Doesn't happen in the NFL. You got to understand, these teams, when they do deals, they want it done on their terms.
Right.
So they're not going to just say, hey, go to another team and get paid. No, we're going to trade you to another team, or things are going to get done the way we want them to get done.
Let's carry this over into the lunch hour. Wade Smith, Texans Pro Bowler. Travis Johnson, Texans first round pick. James Ahedebo, Super Bowl champ, in the building. Does J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney, are they linked together more than we thought in regards to the ongoing saga between Brian Gain and J.D. Clowney? We'll get into that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.